Bette Davis and Joan Crawford couldn't stand each other. In fact, Davis once said of her Warner Brothers rival, "I wouldn't piss on Joan Crawford if she were on fire." Theirs was a bitter dislike that stretched through the years and now has made it onto the small screen with the new miniseries, Feud, Bette and Joan. The show revolves around the filming of the classic movie Whatever Happened to Baby Jane and details the conflict between the sworn enemies. Jessica Lange is Joan and Susan Sarandon plays Bette. GLT culture maven Sherry Zeck says this miniseries demonstrates our deep and abiding love affair with celebrity.
You add into that that we are also generally as a culture quite taken with conflict of all sorts. So you put celebrities having long-standing arguments. I'm trying to resist using the word feud right away. But long-standing dislike or disagreements in these public lives that they lead, together with our love of celebrity itself, and it's a great combination. After all narrative is really at its heart about conflict.
Day 5, I get to kick her right in the head. I can't wait.
So Bette Davis and Joan Crawford hate each other. Already you have the beginnings of a narrative because you've got the conflict between them. Now, the thing that's curious to me about this particular upcoming show, Feud, is I teach film.
And I'll bet your students don't know who Joan Crawford or Bette Davis are.
That is exactly right.
That's what I can't get about this, is why they're making a series about film stars that a lot of young people, maybe even people my age, would be going, you know, huh?
And I think they even largely don't know who the actresses are. They might know Susan Sarandon, not necessarily Jessica. This one, we'll see if it's a hit or not. I attribute this to some extent to the fact that because we have so many channels and because we have such a broad need for content and because we have such a wide range of viewers demanding that content. I mean, of course, advertisers, they want that 18 to 24 range, or that, to stretch it out a little bit, 12 to 30 range of the spenders, the people who spend on popular culture. But there's money to be made even in elderly folks who, if the TV breaks, they fix it immediately, right? Uh-huh. So we're so attached to what can come to us through our narrative, through our televisions, that I think that need for content means there are pockets of interest that various channels can afford to address in more specific ways. And if they get lucky, it catches on beyond that.
How extraordinary is it that we have two aging actresses playing two aging actresses in a TV series? This is not something we see every day.
No, it's pretty unusual. Here we are getting to women who are 60 or pushing 60 or somewhere above 60, somewhere in that range, playing women who had very, very, very long careers.
Bette Davis looks old enough to be my mother, and so dreadfully overweight.
Joan Crawford has slept with every male star at MGM, except Lassie.
And also, if people look at films of Bette Davis and Joan Crawford, even when they were in their 30s, they probably look a little bit older to today's audience, mm-hmm. because of hairdos and styles and those sorts of things, which tend to look older to today's audience, even if they're on young people.
Nobody had Botox back then.
That's right. Well, they had other stuff, but yeah. So you put all that together, and those actors of those former years, I think, always seem old to today's audiences. Even their earliest films are seen through the light of their latest films. They had incredibly long careers. They made over 100 movies. So the fact that the people playing them are a little bit older is not all that interesting to me, save that these are a couple of good actresses who don't get as many roles as they did 30 years ago.
So why do you think, what was going on between Bette and Joan in real life? I understand they were probably competing with each other for roles, but they had so much in common. They were very strong women. They both had like four husbands. They had troubles with their kids.
Yeah.
And they had so much in common. It just would have been so much nicer to see them team up and support each other. Instead, they were feuding.
The thing about Davis and Crawford is they were very different actors.
Lose the shoulder pads.
I beg your pardon.
And cut back on the lipstick. You're playing a recluse who hasn't seen the sun for 20 years.
Davis was, she was really a better actor. Joan Crawford wasn't that good of an actor, and Bette Davis knew it. At the same time, Bette Davis got lots of accolades within the industry and outside for what a good actor she was. So I think there was some professional jealousy there, but also they both came from sort of rougher backgrounds. But Bette Davis always kind of played that tough role. To mm-hmm. some extent, even in her early 30s films that were also glamorous, she was sort of the tough girl, glam girl. And Joan Crawford really embraced the glamour itself. And so I think there was some disgust on each other's part about that, both seeing themselves in each other and seeing themselves having gone in a different direction in each other.
Part of me is a little queasy thinking that this might give us a cruel portrayal of the middle-aged woman, that it's just like, yay, old babes catfighting, kind of a cruel aspect to that.
I'm anxious to see this feud thing because it seems to me it is a fictionalized take on a real relationship that became more interesting for its original fictionalization in Whatever Happened to Baby Jane. So being able to look at this real relationship without seeing it through the lens of Whatever Happened to Baby Jane, which I think is the real genesis of feud, mm-hmm. is going to be very tricky. And I think that's one of the things that made people love Whatever Happened to Baby Jane, is because it was these two old broads thought to be past their prime, past their beauty point, going at each other in the most cruel and horrific ways. I had nightmares after that film for months.
Of course, Bette Davis got nominated for an Oscar for her performance.
Well, she was great. And of course, Bette Davis had a lot more years in her after that, too. I mean, she continued making films, some of them for mostly for TV, but she continued making films for another, 15 or 20 years.
What does this type of show have to say to us and about us? What are the lessons in something like this?
Well, I think one of the lessons is to begin looking for its inverse. For all of these stories about great rivalries, there are other stories of friendships and the way women held each other up, and it would be nice to see those made into films too and be as interesting as these stories of bitter rivalry and anger. I think with these two figures, there's also just a certain level of delight because of the petty and ridiculous ways they would get at each other. So I wouldn't want to say that one can take lessons from this in how to be a petty, nasty person.
Or how not to be.
Or even how not to be. But I'm not so sure this is a good thing. But we do have some icky, to use a technical term, some icky interest in seeing how low people will sink and in knowing that even the wealthy, the famous, the hugely successful can still be ridiculously low and cruel. I suppose in some way there is something comforting about that, that however someone might have a life that seems so out of reach from the rest of us, full of accolades, money, glamour, travel, Hollywood, staircases, stuff, that they still can be somehow more rotten people than we are. We can still feel a bit superior to them. I suppose there is something of that in there. People don't just love TV shows for the TV show themselves. They love it for the conversations they have with their friends later, the water cooler thing, right? And the great thing about a feud is that you can take sides. The success of this thing, I think, will hang on. Does it spark those conversations later between folks of, well, Bette Davis was right. No, Joan Crawford was right. So it's the back and forth that we get to have in taking sides and kind of reenacting this conflict, probably in a friendlier way for the most part, in our own conversations after the show's over.
That's Sherry Zack, Associate Dean of the College of Fine Arts at Illinois State University and GLT's Culture Maven. I'm Laura Kennedy.